good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. So, what do you think? The commentaries today have been very interesting across the political spectrum. The reaction of American media has been fairly expected, nothing out of the ordinary. Watching people gather in the dark on the streets to scream USA, 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 and celebrate the murder of somebody is a little bizarre, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I've kind of been at odds with myself about this all day today. I have heard some commentators talk about the fact that all the lives that have been lost in this war on terror, and now the summary execution of the person responsible. But as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, bin Laden really didn't have anything to do, did he, with Iraq? And I think his only relationship with Afghanistan was geographical. But Iraq, all the death in Iraq was not caused by bin Laden. The death in Iraq was caused by George W. Bush. 5,000 Americans, tens of thousands permanently damaged and shot to pieces, a million Iraqis dead. That wasn't bin Laden. That was George Bush. So when does SEAL Unit 6, or whatever it's called, drop in on George Bush? Bush was responsible for a lot more death, innocent death, than bin Laden, wasn't he? Or am I wrong here? I mean, I have no idea what is real anymore. Do you? Benazir Bhutto said in an interview with David Frost 3 years ago that bin Laden was dead. Who knows? And then after she said that, she got dead. So when does Unit 6 in the SEALs, or whatever they're called, and who was it today that said that this unit that went after and killed bin Laden are the most dangerous soldiers on Earth? When did they go after the two people, three really, if you throw in Rumsfeld, the three people responsible for hundreds of thousands of dead people with no connection to bin Laden or terror at all? Remember? Just remember that. In all this madness, is there any way that people will please remember the adventure in Iraq, the second attack, not the one by George's old man, but by George W. Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney? That second attack on the civilian population — they didn't have any army left — the civilian population of Iraq had not a thing to do with Osama bin Laden or the war on terror, and everything to do with glomming up somebody else's resources. Can anyone keep that straight? Is that too difficult for right? I know right-wingers will probably not be able to do that. But Jesus Christ, I mean, fair is fair, right? I mean, and also, I've wondered for 10 years why Osama bin Laden was never, to my knowledge, never wanted by the FBI for complicity in the attack of September 11, 2001. I just wonder why that never happened. I know it's not because he was innocent, Osama bin Laden. I'm sure he wasn't innocent, because we know he was guilty. How do we know he was guilty? Well, we know he was guilty. But when you stop and think that Osama bin Laden was created by Ronald Reagan, nurtured by George Herbert Walker Bush, sought after, in a manner of speaking, by Bill Clinton, set free a couple of times by George W. Bush, and finally murdered by Barack Obama, this guy has had a long history here, hasn't he? 30 years, 30-year history, Osama bin Laden. From being our BFF, we're concerned the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviets, to being our own personal Emmanuel Goldstein. What a journey. Well, according to the people who know, and they know, I don't know, you don't know, According to the people who know, Osama bin Laden is now sleeping with the fishes. Oh, and by the way, I looked it up. If, according to Islamic tradition, if someone dies at sea, they can be buried at sea. But if someone dies on the land, they're not supposed to be buried on the land or in the sea. They're supposed to be buried in the land deep enough so that animals can't get to the corpse, and deep enough so that the enemies can't. I read it on Wikipedia. I forget what I read now. But to hear commentators say that he was buried at sea according to Islamic tradition, I don't know what Islamic tradition they're talking about. I just don't. I have no idea. May 1st, 1945, Hitler's death was announced. May 1st, 2003, George W. Bush announced mission accomplished on the USS Abraham. A week ago, Al-Qaeda announced that May 1st would be the start of a spring offensive. And on May 1st, 2011, bin Laden, head of Al-Qaeda, was pronounced dead. Boy, what are the odds? How does that stuff happen? I guess it's just serendipity, right? It's just amazing stuff that happens like that. I got a lot of emails today, as you can imagine, over the last 24 hours. I can't read them all in the air because there's just too many. David writes, don't you think it's ironic that Obama got Osama on the 8th anniversary of Bush's flight suit day? Did Bush phone up Obama and say, want to borrow my flight suit and mission accomplished banner? Notice there was no mission accomplished banner hanging in the East Room. Yeah, Barack Obama just went about business as usual. The business of empire, an enemy, real or imagined, of the United States, was shot dead Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And so the business of the security state goes on. Now, as far as retaliation, who knows what, this is not the end. Those crowds screaming in the streets, to the contrary notwithstanding, it is not the end of, is it? Or is it? Is this the end? Is this the end of the war on terror? Have the Al-Qaeda types and the bad Muslim types, have they come to realize, oh my God, if they can get bin Laden, then I guess we better stop? I don't know. I have a lot of questions. Carl in Olympia writes, Obama just accomplished in 2.3 years what codpiece stuffing mission accomplished peacock George W. Bush and all his lying, warmongering, bloviating GOP neocon buddies failed to accomplish in 7.3 years. Repeat this daily until Election Day 2012. Well, yeah, this is going to be a great campaign for Barack Obama. Campaign slogan, campaign video, campaign audio. And it will definitely get him elected. Re-elected, I should say. We're pretty sure of that. What will the Republicans do now when they feel like they need to talk about Obama being weak on terror or soft on defense? What are they going to talk about now? We'll be right back. Was nothing but a burglar's toy. And them that was caught in a cup are all rich and free. But they chained my mind to an endless tomb. And they took my only son from me. I saw it on TV. I know it's true. Oh, so true. 'Cause I saw it on TV.
to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
The hour. This hour is sponsored by Captain Mary in Memphis, who may have been on that SEAL team. I don't know. Captain Mary in Memphis. Her message, Captain Mary and the Mister, now legally and illegally together for 33 years, want to remind you that a bird in the hand is nice, but not so nice as a bird directed towards someone who's not so nice. Captain Mary in Memphis. Thank you, Captain Mary. That's very, very kind. If you were watching on Ustream, we lost the connection there for a while. Well, we lost everything, but I think we're back online now. So, sorry about that. It was George W. Bush who said, quote, I don't know where bin Laden is, I have no idea, and I really don't care. It's not that important. It's not our priority. Remember that? That was a long time ago. That was before the invasion of Iraq. And then, a month later, he said, I am truly not that concerned about him. So all these people who are right now freaking out because they have this terrible reality of Barack Obama having gotten Emmanuel Goldstein, and they don't know what to do about it. I mean, what is Donald Trump and some of these other moronic jackasses going to say now? What is Michelle Bachmann going to say now? Huh? What are going to be the issues for the 2012 election for these freak bastards? Huh? What's it going to be? It's just astonishing to me. Now, I hate to politicize it, but that's where we live. We live where something like this is just another political act and has to do with who's going to win and who's going to lose. So what will the Republicans do now? Not that I give a damn. It's just funny. Cheryl writes, Mike and Kathy, I'm so sickened by the people we live among. Crowds in front of the White House singing, I'm proud to be an American, and chanting, we're number one. What have we come to as a society? Well, Cheryl, Greg Palast identified us fairly well. We live in an armed madhouse. Anyway, Cheryl writes, maybe I'm the one who has a problem. I'm simply sad. How many innocent civilians have we killed in the effort to, quote, bring Osama bin Laden to justice, end quote? Sadly, we have killed a lot more innocent people in our name than he killed on September 11th. His death will not end terrorism nor bring back those who were killed here. I also felt like I was the only person on earth who found the hanging of Saddam Hussein sad. Personally, I'm ashamed to be an American. I don't cheer for anyone's death. Cheryl, in her last name. I don't know how to handle the killing of bin Laden either. I really don't. It's been 10 years since we've had, you know, these ghosts floating around. I thought the torture techniques in Guantanamo had revealed it wasn't bin Laden. It was somebody else who planned. Who is Sheikh Khalid Muhammad? Well, I thought he was the one who planned it. Or was it al-Zawahiri? Or who? I mean, the list of names who were responsible just went on and on. Remember, there was a period there over about 2 years where every other month we were catching the number two man in al-Qaeda. And then we would kill the number two man in al-Qaeda. And then we would find the number two man in al-Qaeda. And then we would kill the number two man in al-Qaeda again. I think we killed that son of a bitch how many times? I mean, I don't know what's going on. I'm not trying to offend you with my uncertainty here, but And I saw the White House photo, everybody in the Situation Room, Joint Chiefs and Secretary of Defense and Obama, and they're all staring at some video that's off camera. They're watching, I guess they're watching live action of this raid. And the pictures that are out there, the Guardian of the UK had pictures of the corpse of bin Laden juxtapositioned between a dead Muslim fighter and a live Obama, and then this Osama bin Laden, and then this picture. And I mean, if that's not a Photoshop picture, I don't understand the concept then of Photoshopping. The photos that are out there that the Guardian of the UK has anyway, or is it the Independent? I don't know. The Guardian. Unless Osama bin Laden had the same facial expression on the lower half of his face during his death that he had, you know, after a gunfight, that he had on his face 5 years ago after an interview with some network, unless those expressions were exactly the same, then the photograph is a phony. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything. Do you? We'll be right back.
Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Captain Mary in Memphis, Tennessee. Captain Mary. Captain Mary. Don't ask how she got to the rank of captain. You don't want to know. Her message, Captain Mary and the Mister, now legally and illegally together for 33 years, want to remind you that a bird in the hand is nice, but not as nice as a bird directed towards someone who's not. Very nice. Purple Cart. Now that Obama has said that Osama has been killed, various progressive groups are sending out petitions to sign for the withdrawal of our troops. When are the people of this country going to get what is really going on? Yeah, if our occupation in Afghanistan was to get Obama and to disrupt the al-Qaeda network and the top military commanders in the United States security state have said that al-Qaeda in terms of raw numbers in Afghanistan equal about 50, and Obama has ordered and successfully ordered the murder of Osama bin Laden, then when do we come home? When do the troops come home? I mean, isn't that what this is about? I mean, isn't that right? So we'll see a massive withdrawal of U.S. troops beginning next week. Andre writes, buried at sea after a targeted assassination, thus no evidence. Whatever happened to bring me the head of fill in the blank? All sounds so convenient. Oh, and the exact day of Bush's mission accomplished. Another reason to whip Americans into a lather, to forget the Wall Street Pentagon alliance of perpetual war on everyone else for perpetual profit. Whipping up more nationalism to feel good. The middle class is gone, but we got Osama bin Laden. Oh, yeah, here it is. Burial at sea in the Islamic faith. The sacred texts of Islam prefer burial on land. Quote, so deep that its smell does not come out and the beasts of prey do not dig it out. End quote. However, if a person dies at sea and it is not possible to bring the body back to land before decay, burial at sea is allowed. A weight is tied to the feet of the body, and the body is lowered into the water. This would preferably occur in an area where the remains are not immediately eaten by scavengers. Also, if an enemy may dig up the grave to mutilate the body, it is also allowed to bury the deceased at sea to avoid mutilation. Well, I guess that last part, then, would be the justification for the reports that Osama bin Laden's corpse was taken on a U.S. military vessel and taken to the Sea of Arabia or someplace, the Arabian Sea, and sent to the bottom. Jesse Richard at TVNewsLies.org, up at their website, TVNewsLies.org, writes, I have one question about the so-called killing of Osama bin Laden. Have you, in 10 years, seen one sample of proof connecting him to the events of 9/11? The FBI's most wanted list did not mention 9/11 under his entry. The FBI's response to the question posed about this was clear. They had no proof of his involvement in the event. Once again, we have a dead man who can tell no tales or truths when it comes to the official history of war. Osama joins a long line of mythical villains who die before they can speak to the public or to the courts under verifiable conditions. Every one of Osama's tapes was questionable. There were several face types seen on these tapes, and it could not be verified that it was him. Official sources say that this was a pure kill mission, not a capture mission. Why? You know why. This was like the mafia killing witness to their crimes. We have heard for years that he was dead. We have heard of his funeral. Yet now we are told that he was killed before we can hear if he has anything to say. And guess what? They already disposed of his body at sea. How's that for evidence? Comical. What a terrible joke, and how sad that so few of us can see the punchline. 10 years. No proof, just stories. Not one piece of convincing evidence validating the official story has been disclosed, yet the public at large still believes the official tale. Remind you of anything? Hard truths based on the words of so-called trusted icons, where we believe all, regardless of proof or plausibility. Does the word religion ring a bell? Glory, glory, hallelujah, we killed the devil Osama. Think about it. Jesse Richard, founder of TVNewsLies.org. P.S. Did I mention that I captured a Bigfoot creature and a space alien? Pretty historic findings, don't you think? I did not want them alive. That would be silly. So I killed them and burned the bodies and dropped the ashes into the river. But I got some DNA from the skin behind their ears. Trust me, I captured both of them. You can trust me. I'm an authority figure. It's, you know, the cynicism is so thick you can cut it with a spoon. And, of course, I share the cynicism. I like Jesse, like probably most people who still are able to think, who knows? I mean, obviously something happened in that well-fortified and dug-in compound over the weekend. Something happened. It was enthralling enough to have the national security state that is the United States get all of its top echelon of military people into one room where they were all staring at a screen. So something happened. But what? What happened? And the picture at The Guardian is so obvious a fake, you just want to scream at whoever put it together. What is wrong with you? I mean, even if the story is exactly the way it's been reported, that sort of a picture alleging to be the corpse of Osama bin Laden, or is that just a red herring? Did Michelle Bachmann put that out there so that people would question? See, I don't know. Do you? Tim from L.A. writes, The bad thing about being your correspondent is that the news constantly changes. And then he writes, and as the story of Osama bin Laden changes, it's hard to keep up without changing things. People whose families died on 9/11 are shifting blame on bin Laden when it was the FBI who said they had no evidence that he did the deed. And if you look at the FBI's most wanted terrorist to this day, there is no mention whatsoever of bin Laden's involvement. Yet turn on the TV, bin Laden was the mastermind behind the attack nearly 10 years ago. No one in D.C., though, is admitting this. Neither the Democratic part nor the Republicans are saying he is. But the evidence they did have on him, the U.S. Embassy's bombing. Now think, people, what the Patriots did back in the 1770s. Was it any different from what bin Laden did? Like the Patriots, bin Laden did what he did to get the occupiers out of the different countries. Back in the 18th century, it was the Brits we wanted out. In the 20th, it was the U.S. the Asians wanted out. The only difference between what the Patriots did in our country and what people like bin Laden did is skin color. Tim in L.A. In reflecting on the reports of bin Laden's death today, I kept thinking about what bin Laden insisted on before the attacks on this country, and that is that the United States military would get away from the holy places of Islam. In other words, the U.S. troops had to be out of Saudi Arabia. And they weren't taken out. Then the attack occurred on this country, in my opinion, allowed to happen by the Bush administration. After the attack, George W. Bush ordered the troops out of Saudi Arabia, which raises the question to me, if Bush removed the troops from Saudi Arabia post-attack, why didn't he remove them before the attack? I have no idea. I have no answers at all. We never have answers on this program, ever. And I guess primarily that's because in so many of these instances, there really aren't any. You know what I mean? We'll be right back. To follow that cable right down to the middle of Pakistan. They smoked me out, they got me running, then they stopped calling. What made them give up on the chase? They better take a look around, get their nose to the ground, or they'll find themselves staring.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, this hour has been, and for another 10 minutes is, sponsored by Captain Mary in Memphis. She has a message. Captain Mary and the Mister, now legally and illegally together for 33 years, I want to remind you that a bird in the hand is nice, but not so nice as a bird directed towards someone who's not nice. I agree with that, Captain Mary. Thank you, ma'am. The I don't know. I guess some death is worthy of celebration. I guess. I think about the real monsters that have that we've had to deal with as a human species. You know, the usual Hitler, Stalin, Mao, George W. Bush. It's just there is something that really is sickening to me to see, as we saw, I think, Sunday night, the crowds of people gathering to pump their fists in the air and shriek, USA, USA, we're number one. And there was a group someplace singing the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, I don't quite... Well, I mean, I do understand. Of course I understand it. Osama bin Laden has been the focal point of the war on terror. He's been the spook, the haint, the ghost, the demon. And for some reason, it was determined that he would die yesterday. And I have no idea. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying. I just don't. There's something about this that is hideously tilted. And by this, something about this that's hideously tilted. I mean, the whole thing, going back a decade to the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. You know, once again, to believe that 19 people defeated the most massive security state in the history of the human race by giving people box cutters and having them board airplanes. Son of a bitch, who believes that? Well, obviously, a lot of people. Now, how it happened is the point of contention. But I refuse. I will never, ever accept that. And that may speak volumes about my inability to see the truth. On the other hand, it may speak volumes about my inability to be made a complete ass of by whoever. I don't know. So it comes full circle then, doesn't it? 10 years ago, Osama bin Laden, according to the story, orchestrated or planned or something an attack on this country to kill as many Americans as possible, because of the way he felt the American government was treating innocent Muslims. That's what he said. Was he lying? I mean, was he just a bloodthirsty son of a bitch like, say, Dick Cheney? Or was he a religious fanatic? To me, he sounded a bit like a religious fanatic. And as all religious fanatics, okay, you are corrupting my holy sites where my messengers of God walked around and levitated into heaven and yada, yada, yada. You're screwing with my religious holy sites with your filthy soldiers. So get out of here. And, of course, the response by the United States, by any imperialist power, when they hear something like that, I mean, look what the Romans said when Jesus more or less said, get out of here. You know, my God says you're a bunch of asses and, you know, all your pantheons and the blah, 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 blah. Get out of here. What they did to him, they killed him. Very simple. So religious fanatic. Was Jesus a religious fanatic? Sure as hell sounds like it to me. Just a crazed rabbi, maybe? That's the way he was perceived by the power, the Roman power, right? Osama bin Laden. Just a crazed son of a bitch who said, get out of our holy, get away from our holy sites. Get your filthy stormtroopers out of here. Oh, and by the way, stop killing Palestinians. Stop bombing our people. Stop killing our people. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And of course, the United States just gave him the finger. What do you mean, stop it? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're talking to us? We're number one, 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 we're number one. We don't take orders from somebody like you, run around in your underwear and your bathrobe. What are you talking about? We're number one, we're number one, we're number one, we're number one. And we'll sing the national anthem and prove it to you. There is something that is just stomach turning, isn't there? I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't know, something stomach turning though. Word comes out, hey, we killed somebody. Yeah, goddamn right, all right. We're number one, we're number one, we're number one. Why, I mean, if it was determined by the national security state that Osama bin Laden had to be killed, okay, why not just go kill him and shut up? You know, just another anonymous death. I mean, why bin Laden? We already have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's about to go on trial. We have the guy who planned. I mean, son of a bitch, every time I pick up something about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, there it is. Well, he planned this. We got the information from him through the controlled drowning technique. We got him. We got it. Here it is. But what about Osama bin Laden? This is madness. This is madness. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. The hour, the Malloy program. This hour is sponsored by Aussie Progressive. Aussie Progressive. Aussie's message, and I'm pretty sure it's a guy. His message: truth seekers, ask your local radio stations to provide a progressive talk format. Support sponsors of Progressive Radio. Tell the sponsors you support them because they support Progressive Talk. Thanks, Aussie Progressive. Prairie 2 writes, Bin Laden was an extremist that killed even more Muslims than he did Americans. His laying claim to righteous causes did not make him any less the crazy, dangerous extremist. By his own rules, killing him in cold blood was acceptable. He had declared war and had numerous followers willing to carry it out. That makes him a military target and not just a criminal. Capturing him would have just created a circus that would have served no purpose. And this is Bruce's message justifying the killing of Osama bin Laden. And I don't necessarily disagree. Would we have, I don't know, would we, I guess we would have put Hitler on trial. And of course, Osama bin Laden is no Hitler. I don't want to use, you know, overwork that analogy. George W. Bush belongs on trial. What is the difference, truly, in, the killings ordered by George W. Bush and the killings ordered by Osama bin Laden? I still am not clear on that, except for the fact that one is one of my fellow Americans and the other one is not. But let me play something for you. This Tony Snow, before he became White House spokesman, he was interviewing on his radio program Dick Cheney. Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. I want to be clear, because I've heard you say this, but and I've heard the president say it, but I want you to say it for my listeners, which is that the White House has never argued that Saddam was directly involved in September 11th, correct?
That's correct. We had one report early on
from another
intelligence service that suggested...
this is Saddam. I thought it was bin Laden. Never mind. This is when Dick Cheney makes clear that Saddam Hussein had no connection to 9/11, and yet, how many Americans believed otherwise? By the same token, we have been told over and over and over again, I think, I may be wrong, but I think we've been told over and over and over again that the person who planned the attack on this country on September 11th is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I think. I don't know. Does anybody remember? Barry 2 is missing for tonight. The voices in his head were preempted. Oil, gold, and silver all dropped sharply early Monday morning on the news of Obama's victory, but rose again on a sharp decline in the U.S. dollar that was reversed again in overnight trading in Asia. Yeah, things are unstable. Traders are unsure what to make of Obama. His success in taking down al-Qaeda's leader under the nose of the Pakistani military, they don't know what to make of Obama's success in taking down al-Qaeda's leader under the nose of the Pakistani military. They must have known he was hiding in their own gated retirement community, and this kind of bold action indicates Obama is definitely not playing by the old rules. Much of the strategy of world domination by the transnational corporations has been built on the assumption that the war is never ending. The previous administration had made no attempt to eliminate their major boogeyman, but instead simply used Osama bin Laden to further corporate interests. To keep up appearances, they would occasionally kill that number three guy. Obama has now done something completely unexpected. He kept his word. This has to make certain interests wonder what other promised but unexpected things Obama might do in the future. The president now has the kind of political capital and international prestige that only the voices in George Bush's head thought that he had. Donald Trump hears those same voices, but his show was preempted by the real president. Not that this means that we're out of the woods. We are so deep in the dark forest that the moss grows on all sides of the trees. But we now have a president willing to take risks and make them pay off. Helicopter raids are notoriously bad for a president if they go wrong. Carter plus Iran hostages equal Reagan. The safe bet would have been B-2 bombers, but Obama put his political future second to the big payoff to the country. A confirmed kill, no civilian casualties, and no Americans lost makes all the right kind of headlines. The question is, how will Obama use all of this new capital? The markets seem to think he will use it for something. PrairieNumeral2.com. No, I don't know. I have no idea what to think about any of it. I have no idea. It's just it's like watching a movie. I mean, in a way. Or reading some poorly written book. I don't know. I have no idea. I watched some of the talking heads on television, and they're just, I mean, it's like these people are experiencing some kind of orgasm, some kind of political orgasm. They just shiver with delight about this, and I don't quite, I don't get that. Paul writes, well, the plot thickens. Bin Laden is possibly dead if he wasn't already. The big deal is that Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rove, and so many names that we will never know are off the hook. The physics of the Twin Towers, the supposed plane crash in Shanksville, PA, the airliner that possibly never hit the Pentagon will all fade in the lore and rewritten history in favor of the gratification that was so sorely needed to mollify America. Anyone that still attempts to mention the above irregularities will now really be branded as a provocateur. Yeah, of course. You know, the book is closed on this issue for most Americans. You know what is really sad? So many Americans right now figure that the war on terror has come to an end. You can't have a war on terror to begin with. I mean that is a physical impossibility. But people have been so completely brainwashed in this country. Do you remember way back right after the bombing or the plane crashes into the trade towers? And the bombing at the Pentagon and the crash in Pennsylvania, or the shoot down of the jet in Pennsylvania, ordered by Dick Cheney, when all that passed into a new news cycle, 24, 48, 72 hours later, there were some of us suggested that the way to handle this was an international police effort. Track the people down who organized it. We knew that the perpetrators were dead, obviously. The people who actually, if it happened, always have to offer that caveat, if it happened the way it was presented, that these 19 hijackers took over four airliners, and what happened next was a result of their taking over the airliners. Okay, if that's the story, if we're going to stipulate that, then all the perpetrators are dead. So who does it leave to go after? Well, the organizers. How do you go after the organizers? You do it using sophisticated policing techniques, your CIA contacts, your ability to get into countries and listen and do police work. You don't do it by invading countries and carpet bombing and shock and awe and scooping people up and torturing them. I mean, what the hell? You don't do it by killing a million civilians in Iraq. You don't do it by wiping out the infrastructure in pretty much all of that country. But I don't know anything.
To practice your synchronized screaming, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We are talking tonight, obviously, about the killing of Osama bin Laden, as reported by the President of the United States on, was it Sunday night? Was it last night? Saturday night? Sunday night? And the subsequent media frenzy. Again, I've got an awful lot of emails today about this, and I do want to share as many of them with you as I can. Oh, by the way, let me digress for just a minute, because with all this blood and gore and battered bodies and death and destruction, I've got something nice. God. You know, one of our sponsors is Pro Flowers, and I do commercials for them, but I also, you know, I've offered up a couple of testimonials. I really like this company. They have sent us bouquets, and we are amazed that the claims they make are real. you don't get that very often, right, Gabby? I mean, when they talk about the bloom, stay bloomed, and then yada yada, all this stuff, you know, and the little box of chocolates that comes with this, and the nice, it's all true. Now, I'm just saying, this is one of the most, it's kind of like Helin Hollers or Evolve Fish. I mean, there are some advertisers, when you do their copy on the air, when, you know, they send you, well, say this for me, and, you know, here's your $100. And, you know, you do a little check. But some of these companies are absolutely as they present themselves. And I use Helen Howlers and Evolve Fish as a couple examples. There's more. But Pro Flowers has really lived up to our expectations. All right, having said all that, I've got something for you this week, every night this week, and we're going to do this after the next break, the bottom of the hour when we come back. They have given me five $50 gift cards to give away. Five of them, one tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I may not be here Thursday, so we may give away two of them on Wednesday. But I'll be giving away five of these gift cards. They're $50 gift cards. They're good until December 31st of this year, so you can use them for Mother's Day. If you get it in time, like the people that get, you know, win tonight, or by win, it's very simple. I'm just going to say, you know, our eighth caller. It's not trivia or anything like that. I just want to keep this simple. but you can use them for Mother's Day. You can use them for Father's Day. You can use them for whatever. If you got a somebody's birthday coming up, whatever. You've got until December 31st of this year to use them. $50. Now, you know what $50 would get you with Pro Flowers. Jesus. I mean, you could fill up your living room. But we're going to do this. When we go to the next break, Kathy will unlock the phone lines. And here's what she'll do. Let's pick a number. The seventh caller. This is just like disc jockey radio. Second caller, seventh caller through gets two tickets to Aerosmith. You know, that kind of thing. So when we go to the next commercial set, which is in about 2.5-3 minutes, she'll open up the phones. The seventh person through we'll get this $50 Pro Flowers gift card, and it'll be mailed to you, right? It'll be mailed. Kathy will get the information from you, and it will be mailed out to you. So one tonight, one every night this week. I think that's pretty cool. This hour is sponsored by Aussie Progressive. He has a message. Truth seekers, ask your local radio stations to provide a progressive talk format. Support sponsors of Progressive Radio. Tell the sponsors you support them because they support progressive talk. I certainly agree with that. Oh, that's the third hour? Oh, okay. Well, we'll give him a freebie this hour. Okay. That's right. He's in Australia. I guess he's not listening right now. Okay. Oh, that's right. I see the big three here. All right, no time. Steve in Grapevine, Texas sent me an email that says, are we now going to see the rise of the deathers? You know, we had the birthers. What comes now, the deathers? We want to see the death certificate! Yeah, Kathy wouldn't mind seeing that one. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. Now, as soon as we go into the break, the phone number is 877-996-2556. Kathy will take the seventh caller through, and you will get a $50 gift subscription card from proflowers.com. You're going to like this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, 25 before the hour. Did you give away a gift card? Can you open up your mic and just don't give away too much information?
A listener in Oakland, California, who was pleasantly surprised that she won. She's never won anything before in her life, and her husband works in radio. And I said, that's probably why you've never won anything before in your life. Usually you're disqualified. So she was thrilled. She was laid off last year, and this way she can afford to buy mom some flowers.
Isn't that cool? All right. Good enough. All right, we'll do this every night this week. Going back to the targeted assassination, the elimination, the whatever you want to call it, execution, righteous removal, unnecessary destruction. I pick your own term. Of Osama bin Laden, Michael in Roswell writes, there is obvious propaganda value in bin Laden's death. However, we're still left with all the follow-on effects of 9/11, and still the public has little sense of what al-Qaeda was and is, that terrorism's not going away, that our surrender of so many of our rights has done little to alter the nature of terrorism today, nor will this act alter the course of our various occupations and military forays into other countries. Al-Qaeda is hardly some monolithic military force, which is why it bothered me that Osama chose to say that Al-Qaeda waged war on us, so we waged war on it and bin Laden, thus proving that he'd fallen into the militarization trap created by the Bushies. Bin Laden, or Obama did. Further, Al-Qaeda has always worked much like a franchiser. It provided moral and political and logistical support and funding advice for a lot of independent contractors with whose aims it agreed. Osama bin Laden was a cheerleader and was good at finding money, but the organizational and practical details have probably been handled by Ayman al-Zawahiri, who has shown himself to be even better than bin Laden at escaping detection and evading capture or assassination. Al-Qaeda's aims may be marginally hindered by the events Monday morning, Pakistan time, but as long as there are religious zealots offended by the presence of the West in both Muslim territory and Muslim culture, there will be terrorism directed against the West. That successive administrations continue to believe that a diminution of our civil rights at home and a disregard for human rights in our foreign prisons, in combination with multiple military misadventures overseas that too often aid and abet our multinationals, will eradicate terrorism, says much more about our ruling class and its aims than it does about those Muslim religious zealots. Those who are currently in awe of the prowess of our roving assassination teams, of the efficacy of drone strikes, would be wise to remember that everything done militarily overseas eventually comes home. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. I just simply don't know what to think about it. Do you? I know it gives, I hate to be crass here, but it gives Barack Obama a winning, I mean, all he has to do is for his campaign in 2012 is just run a tape from last night. Just run a tape where he says that Osama bin Laden is no longer here. Mike writes, so the long-awaited news flash finally arrives. The archfiend of a religious kook with his CIA-approved training and Saudi-approved checkbook is no more. And while I generally don't approve of violence, including that of the state-sanctioned variety, on the whole, I'd have to agree that the world is a better place with him gone. But you'll forgive me if I don't join the ecstatic celebrations of this event, which will be expected by everyone from Chris Matthews to Rachel Maddow, because at the end of the day, very little changes. There are still many thousands around the world committed to our destruction for reasons both insane and otherwise, our policies and priorities adding to their numbers every single day. Meanwhile, we're still the same frightened and arrogant, a terrifying combination, polity we were 48 hours ago. Apparently far more willing to embrace deficit financing for three wars and bailouts of the uber wealthy than to pay teachers or repair decaying infrastructure. This development will only encourage those trends, in the short term at least, thus ensuring that when we finally reap what we sow, the harvest will be a doozy. Bin Laden exits with the West a tottering burlesque, its finances as compromised as its commitment to civil liberties. If he had time for reflection before those bullets ended his fantasies of caliphates and virgins forever, I'd have to think he was well satisfied with the results of his work. No, I'm not in the mood for a celebration at all. Michael. Different Michael. Richard in New Jersey writes, there is not a shred of evidence that bin Laden has been killed, and of course the media are not requiring any. Lesser terrorists, quote-quote, have been tortured at Guantanamo for over a decade, but the king of terror gets burial at sea with no one thinking of photographing him before or during? Even the talking heads on NBC said nothing less than DNA and a picture next to a U.S. soldier would be accepted as proof. Now, after the official announcement, our courtier press is, of course, silent. Is it unpatriotic or un-American to ask how specifically we know that he's dead? Richard in New Jersey. Well, yeah, of course. Of course it is. It's very unpatriotic. It proves that you're just a skunk. Linda in Phoenix. Hello, Michael. Doesn't just figure these weasel Republicans today are interjecting Bush's name every chance they get into the successful mission of finally getting bin Laden. He didn't have jack to do with it. Seems to me, I recall, he had at least two separate chances in Tora Bora as well as another remote location identified by drones to get his ass. Both times he didn't or wouldn't give the order. Also, don't you recall when asked, he said, quote, I don't care. I don't know where he is. I don't think about him anymore, end quote. I knew this would be coming this morning, but it really just pisses me off. What nerve. Didn't care. Didn't give a rat's ass. I have to go. My hair is on fire. P.S. Won't be listening tonight. Nothing personal, but the Lakers are playing. Lyndon Phoenix. No, I understand. I get it. Yeah, do you remember? Do you remember what was it, 8 years ago? Was it 8 years ago? No. When was the mission accomplished thing? Is that six, that was 8 years ago, yeah. Only that had to do with Saddam Hussein, right? Was it Saddam? Yeah, it was Saddam Hussein. Tom in Maryland writes, Mike, am I the only one who's not utterly enthralled with the death of Osama bin Laden? Everybody on the television is frothing patriotic diarrhea. Well, I'm wondering when our country will stop blowing the ever-loving blank out of little nations full of brown people. Never, Tom. Not until capitalism is utterly torn to pieces. Probably with the bare hands of people like you and me, because... It is capitalism, isn't it, that's driving all this, isn't it? I mean, if it isn't, what is it? Freedom? Democracy? American exceptionalism? What is it? What is it that's driving the war on terror? Huh? No, until capitalism as a religion and a global foreign policy and a domestic policy, until the day comes when it is ripped to pieces, destroyed, flushed down the nearest toilets. And it'll take hundreds of thousands of toilets flushing 24/7. I hope we have recycling down by then. Until that day, recycling toilet water. Until that day, this is going to go on. Who wrote Endless War for Endless... What was the title of that? Perpetual War for Perpetual Peace, an ironic title. Who was that? You know who it was. Oh, God, I can't stand these senior moments. Oh, well. Until the American people realize that, you know, passive acceptance of all this, that symbolism as a form of resistance, you know, singing songs and "We Shall Overcome" and holding hands and getting arrested for half an hour, and until we come to realize that that is theater and has no meaning, this will continue. And that's from somebody who was recently arrested. But it's nothing. It means nothing. When the time comes that the American people, if such a thing exists, have had enough, then the road is clearly marked, ripping to pieces the oppressive system and doing away with it is the answer.
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, I got a couple emails today that apparently I have misplaced. One of them, I think it's from Kathy in Maine, just had a very simple question. You know, who's next? Who's our next boogeyman? Because There has to be a face. There has to be a person. It can't just be unidentified detainees at Guantanamo or somebody in a cave somewhere. So, I think it was Kathy in Maine who came up with that question. Who's to be the next boogeyman? I don't know. This is from Plowman. Mike, I think Brian Williams, Rachel Maddow, and NBC, MSNBC had the best commentary on the flash mobs celebrating bin Laden's death in front of the White House and other places around the country. The young ages of most of the crowd and frat party atmosphere was noted. Frats could be boorish at times, but Williams made an important point in that those of that age, 20 to 22, were highly impressionable 10 to 12 years of age when the planes hit the towers in 2001. Maybe their parents had to explain the horrors or handle it delicately. It was a major formative event to them, even more so than to you or me. They've lived their whole lives under terror alerts or politicians who'd use fear for political gain, like Karl Rove and the Republicans did. They've seen college costs fly out of sight and military service looking like the only way to go. And then they have to remember how many we lost needlessly in Iraq and arguably Afghanistan. I remember when I was 18, it looked like we'd be in a war with Iran. In any case, the military has had to bear all the sacrifices for the wars and the war on terror. And that's a subset of younger people. Maybe some let the emotions get carried away, as they are wont to do, but I think it's all understandable. Just let it go. Well, that makes sense. That's a good argument. I hadn't considered that. And yeah, the pictures are mostly of young people. Rick in Ackworth, Georgia, writes, okay, great, we got him. Now let's get a look at this son of a bitch. What's that? Oh, they buried him at sea already? So, okay, either Obama is the stupidest man on earth, or he thinks everybody else is dumb as a tree stump, or maybe bin Laden was already dead before this raid. Is there another option? Rick in Ackworth. I don't understand... any of it. If I am honest, and I am, I don't understand. I've never been able to figure out this bloody pursuit of Osama bin Laden, except in the context that it was just the excuse. That's all. It was Emmanuel Goldstein, the character from 1984, against whom the 2 minutes of hate were directed. You remember. Every society that is drifting towards totalitarianism, or one that's already there, has to have an Emmanuel Goldstein and has to have an Osama bin Laden, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it? I'm not saying Barack Obama is a big brother by any means, but corporate America, the capitalists are. I mean, is there any question in your mind about that? I watched some of Oprah today. Yes, I did. Because Obama and Michelle Obama were guests of Oprah Winfrey's. And here's what I noticed. You know, Oprah Winfrey has a commercial about every 2 minutes. That's why she's a billionaire. I didn't realize before how many commercials. Well, I've never watched it before. But, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'll see something today that... And what I saw, I didn't see the President of the United States and the First Lady. I saw, let's leave her out of it. I didn't see a President of the United States, Barack Obama, as I've come to distrust him and mistrust him and consider him to be less than completely honest, very facile with the truth. He just, that's a George Bush word. He just kind of tosses it around in most instances. Now, why that is, I don't know. You know, like I said, like somebody said, immediately after a president's elected, they take him in and show him the Kennedy assassination movie. Only it's not the Zapruder film. So, you know, I don't know. I've no idea. But what I saw on Oprah's program today was, you know, here this very nice man, 40-something, and his very nice wife, 40-something, talking about things that just were just so, you know, so real and what it's like to be this incredibly attractive young couple who are in this position of being President, First Lady of the United States, and their two beautiful little daughters. They weren't there, but, you know, there were photographs Oprah Winfrey had up on the screen. And just this charming couple. And I mean, I don't know how anybody can't be just charmed completely into a trance by Michelle Obama. I mean, not only is she beautiful, but when she talks, she's one of those personalities to me. When she talks, you will listen. I don't know what it is. Not that she's dictating you will listen. Not that she is holding a whip or a gun, but there's something about the presence. She has presence. She really does. So I'm watching this, and I don't know when it was taped. I didn't hear any mention of the Osama bin Laden execution. It may have been taped a couple, 3 days ago or last week or something. But I'm watching the President of the United States sit there and look just like somebody who you might be happy to have live down the street or you know, occasionally go to a movie with or something, right? Huh? And I'm sitting there thinking, what are you thinking? What the hell are you doing, Malloy? What? So I don't know. I don't know anything. I have nothing. Nothing. I am as lost as you are. Although I know you're not lost. You've got it all figured out. I don't. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. The Molloy Program. This hour is sponsored by Aussie Progressive, as in Oz, Australia, Aussie Progressive. And his message, truth seekers, ask your local radio stations to provide a progressive talk format. Support sponsors of progressive radio. Tell the sponsors you support them because they support progressive talk. Couldn't say it better if I tried, Aussie Progressive. It was Roz in Canada who suggested who's going to be the next, I think it was the next, maybe a couple of people did, the next boogeyman. Bad news for Canadians. It looks like the conservative government is in for a third term. I guess we'll try to get to that tomorrow night. We are focusing tonight on the execution of Osama bin Laden by, is it Team 6? Is that who is special operation Navy SEALs who, was it Barry McCaffrey who said today that the retired general or colonel, I don't even know anymore. I can't keep these guys straight. He said the Team 6 are the most dangerous group of men on Earth. Okay. Andy writes, Mike, so we finally got bin Laden. I just visited the MSNBC website, and the huge banner on the website says, justice has been served. Really? Was there a trial of Osama bin Laden that I missed? Was the case built in a court of law that provided the evidence that proved his guilt beyond a shadow of a doubt? I mean, we did that very thing for the Nazis we captured at the end of World War II. And certainly Osama bin Laden and the members of Al-Qaeda aren't worse than the Nazis, are they? But here we are celebrating the fact we killed the head of a terrorist organization without the inconvenience of a trial. And it's not like this murder will do that much. Al-Qaeda is a franchise all over the region. And killing bin Laden is as useless as shutting down the first McDonald's. And the worst part? The United States, and that would be all of us, has proved to the world that our claims of standing up for truth and justice is nothing more than empty claims. We are willing to knock down all of our own laws just so we can have the taste of vengeance under the guise of justice. By the way, doesn't vengeance lead to more revenge? Oh, well, at least Barack Obama did keep a campaign promise. He said he'd make the government more transparent. And you know what? It really is more transparent. We're now killing out in the open and dancing around the corpses. Makes you almost wish we could go back to the days when such murders were done through clandestine operations handled by the CIA. Andy. We just live in strange times. Oh, my God. The war is over, isn't it? Shouldn't we start packing? Shouldn't we get out? Isn't it, wasn't really mission accomplished? I mean, hello? No? Some comments from the Institute for Public Accuracy. They offer up speakers or guests on talk programs and so on and so forth. I think I've had Sam Husseini on once, who is the spokesperson for the Institute for Public Accuracy, but I don't think I've ever had their guests on. I like the quote. So Alan Nairn, who is a journalist, said today, quote, bin Laden is dead, but the world is still governed by bin Ladens. Every day the U.S. directly with its own forces or indirectly through its proxy forces, its clients, is killing, at a minimum, dozens of people. I mean, just since Obama came in the one limited area of drone strikes in Pakistan, something like 1,900 have been killed just under Obama. And that started decades before 9/11. We have to stop these people, these powerful people like Obama, like Bush, like those who run the Pentagon, who think it's okay to take civilian life. G. Simon Harrock, a member of the Marquette University Jesuit community, said today, quote, I believe that violence breeds violence and that this killing will not end violence, but begin a new circle of harm and retaliation. Did the killing of Saddam Hussein end the violence in Iraq? Ezekiel 18:23 states, quote, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? End quote. Robert Naiman is the policy director of justforeignpolicy.org. He wrote the piece, The War is Over, Kiss the Nurse and Start Packing, which states, I think I've got that, don't I? Yeah, here it is at Truth Out. It states, we got our man, wave the flag, kiss the nurse, start packing the equipment. It's time to plan to bring all our boys and girls home from Afghanistan. When the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks rolls around, let the world see that we are on a clear path to bringing home our troops from Afghanistan and handing back sovereignty to the Afghan people. Yeah, that would be nice, Mr. Naiman, but I mean, who among us really believes that's going to happen? Robert Naiman went on at this piece of Truth Out and said, with more Sherlock Holmes than Rambo, and judging from press accounts, not much role for the 100,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan, U.S. intelligence tracked Osama bin Laden to a safe house in a well-appointed suburb of Pakistan's capital, and a small U.S. force raided the compound. Press reports say Osama bin Laden was killed in a firefight in the compound and that his body has been buried at sea in accordance with Islamic tradition that expects a burial within 24 hours. Success typically has many authors, and I don't doubt the ability of some to argue that our occupation of Afghanistan has contributed to this result. Perhaps it will turn out that some prisoner captured in Afghanistan by U.S. forces contributed a key piece of information that helped investigators find bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And of course, it will be argued correctly that Osama bin Laden's death is not necessarily the end of Al-Qaeda, nor of groups inspired by Al-Qaeda. Indeed, that there will be an incentive now for Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-inspired groups to retaliate and to prove that they can still carry out actions against the United States. But whether anyone at the Pentagon likes it or not, the death of bin Laden is a game changer politically for the U.S., Afghan, and world public opinion in terms of the perceived justification for maintaining 100,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. The world was already bone-tired of the war in Afghanistan even before bin Laden's death. Two-thirds of Americans were saying that the war in Afghanistan wasn't worth fighting, and three-quarters of Americans were saying that they wanted to see a substantial withdrawal of U.S. combat troops from Afghanistan this summer. No doubt, there will be a window of celebration and relief now in which many will be willing to give the U.S. government the benefit of some doubt about its future plans. But if the Afghanistan war continues as it has in the past, this window won't last for long. Well, what do you think, Truth Seeker? I mean, not that I'm asking you to call the program or anything, but do you think that this will end it? Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's see what you think. We're going to go ahead and open the lines, and you can call it if you like. 877-996-2556.
with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Well, we had a screw-up with the database, the sponsors. We did have an hour or two sponsor, and it's Carm and Ernie. And the message is, we want to thank the Florida Citrus Commission and their spokeswoman, Anita Bryant, for their homophobic vitriol 34 years ago. It brought us together for the most phenomenal relationship. Carm and Ernie. All right, Carm and Ernie, I'm sorry about missing it on the second hour. This just came through off of our weird system. And the All Hour is also sponsored by Aussie Progressive. We'll do them both when we come back after the next break. George W. Bush, March 13th, 2002. I don't know where bin Laden is. I have no idea and really don't care. It's not that important. It's not our priority. George W. Bush. The same day, I guess. I am truly not that concerned about him. Mission accomplished. No, that was Saddam Hussein. Hard to tell you're terrorists without a scorecard. You know what I'm saying? It's just madness. It's just crazy. Crazy. Ernest is in Wagon Mound, New Mexico. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, Ernest.
Hey, Carm fellas. Carm's asleep. He's, didn't hear it. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. I appreciate it. I heard it.
Oh, is this Carm and Ernie?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. How about if I, he's asleep?
Yeah, he's actually just finished under hospice, and we're kind of, closing out our relationship.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we had a whole bunch of people who were going to listen for a second hour tonight.
Oh, damn.
And it was like...
Where's he going to be tomorrow?
Well, we have another oncology appointment tomorrow. Probably still here in Santa Fe. We were hoping to go back up to Wagon Mound. But you're out of reach there.
Yeah. Where is Wagon Mound?
Wagon Mound is between Raton, New Mexico, and the Colorado line and Santa Fe. It's about 110 miles north of Santa Fe on the interstate to Denver.
What? Is there, it's a town?
Uh-huh. It's a old Santa Fe trail. You could see Indians coming, or the Indians could see folks on the trail.
How many people live in Wagon Mound?
About 300.
300? How did you settle there?
We got tired of everybody moving to Santa Fe.
So you moved to Wagon Mound?
We moved to Wagon Mound. We also have another place in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
All right. We live in Chelsea at 8th Avenue.
Okay, all right. Now you're talking. Okay, all right.
But Wagon Mound is much safer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet it is.
It is much safer, and they know us well, but that's besides,
All right, now, Carm, now, what's your schedule tomorrow?
Well, Carm has chemo in the morning, but we could, Cassie said the second hour was a possibility tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, I'll keep him awake.
All right, I don't know how this got lost in our multi-million-dollar system here at Malloy Broadcasting, but somehow it did, Ernest. So.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I just heard it. It was, but Carm was totally gone here with the oxygen. Hmm. The morphine. It's been a tough run these last, God.
I guess so. I had no idea that there was such a story behind the message about thanking Anita Bryant and for their homophobic vitriol 34 years ago.
Well, it's what I've always been, the activist, and it kind of got us together, And it was kind of fun to remember that's what happened. And, some of us have had really good and very exciting lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Wagon Mound is just kind of a side thing.
Yeah, Wagon Mound, New Mexico. Dear God.
It's great. The only thing worse is truth or consequence.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's another. New Mexico has some very interesting town names.
You know, as long as Jan Brewer keeps doing what she's doing, we can usually do okay.
I hear that. All right, yeah. Ernest, thanks for checking in. We'll do this tomorrow night, second hour, for sure,
great.
For sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. You have a good evening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, we have a break coming up here momentarily. We will come back. That was Ernest. That was Ernie. And we're going to do it. We're going to do their second hour tomorrow night. That was very nice. He was very gracious about the fact that our massive multi-million-dollar delivery system somehow didn't function properly. Wagon Mound, New Mexico. All right, we'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Back to your calls here in just a second. This hour is sponsored by Aussie Progressive. Aussie Progressive. His message, Truth Seekers, ask your local radio stations to provide a progressive talk format. Support sponsors of progressive radio. Tell the sponsors you support them because they support progressive talk. Indeed. Thanks, Aussie Progressive. A couple more emails here, which is pretty much what we're doing tonight. Back to your calls in a second. Kate on the range. Kate has been in the desert. Kate has been down in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Kate is now hauling veterans for treatment. Disabled vets. Up in, where is she now, Kathy? Montana? She writes, Mike, I know you're tired of reading emails, but this one would have been the first in the queue. Well, I'm not tired. This is from the other night. It's 11:30 tonight. BBC just broke in with an announcement. He is dead. I listened to the rest of the hour and was increasingly suspicious. Nothing about this story washed with me. That was the other night. So today, Kate writes, I've been in media blackout all day, over 450 miles, hauled four vets to various places in northern Montana over 12 hours, so my ass is dragging. I missed the first 90 minutes of the show, but I wanted to write you last night. Why now? Where's the death certificate? Who is benefiting from this story? Buried at sea? Just like the towers rubble. Glad to hear I'm not the only one who smells a manipulated mess. I'm amazed at how the powers that be take us for such fools and sheep. I hate this. Nothing will change. I will still have disabled vets to transport for years to come. Screw it. I'm going to bed. Have an early pickup in the morning. Another rock and roll on the road. More vets to move around. Springtime in the Rockies. Kate. And this is from Jeff. Bin Laden, a non-event. My intentions have been to simply ignore media reports that the U.S. had killed its number one boogeyman. After all, there's practically nothing newsworthy about the event. However, the cacophony of the media parrots simply drowned out all of their thoughts and real news this morning. There's a very simple test which we can use on any or every item of fact in order to determine if it has any news value. Is the world a different place after such news than it was before? In this respect, the death of Osama bin Laden is a complete non-event. It changes absolutely nothing in the world, even if we were to treat the farcical U.S. war on terror as a legitimate campaign rather than just a front for more despicable U.S. imperialism, such as the war for drugs in Afghanistan and the war for oil in Iraq. Bin Laden's death changes nothing. At the beginning of this fabricated so-called war, the death of Osama bin Laden would have likely been greeted with another mission accomplished boast by George Bush Jr. Today, it will not result in even one U.S. soldier being sent back home. It is an event which does not lead to or imply any other progress in this war with no end. On the opposite side, it neither harms nor demoralizes any of the Arab factions currently confronting the U.S. war machine, as even the mainstream media acknowledges that bin Laden no longer had any operational relevance in al-Qaeda. If killing this so-called enemy neither helps us or weakens them, then how could it possibly have any significance? However, the mainstream media have never allowed minor considerations such as facts or logic to get in their way when it comes to sensationalizing an event in order to further their general propaganda campaign. Want U.S. markets to go higher? Bin Laden's death will do that. Want the price of gold, silver, and oil to go lower? Bin Laden's death will do that. Indeed, I have been poring over media reports this morning to find out if bin Laden's death will also be identified as a cure for the common cold. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Phone calls. Paul is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Paul.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not bad at all. I dismissed the last comment you made, or whoever made those comments that you read.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is very significant, simply because it, on a great deal, it has restored, confidence in our, nation. And, I think that, President Obama in the last week has put to rest a couple of major distractions from getting anything done. And number one is that he presented his birth certificate. And number two, he brought in Osama bin Laden. And regardless of what anybody thinks, the president has privy to information that the rest of us don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So we elected him to represent us in the best way he possibly could. And we try to elect somebody that's intelligent, that is has leadership qualities, and that can accomplish things. And in spite of all the opposition that President Obama has encountered since he became president, all of the racism, all of the doubts, all this other junk that's come up about him, he is still able to accomplish things. And I have a lot of admiration for him for that reason alone. And so there's always going to be people for and against anything that anybody does. So, because we live in a country that allows freedom of speech for the most part, we need to listen to everybody's thoughts. And because by doing that, we might change some of our own thoughts and make progress that way. Everybody in the world has a different idea the way things ought to be done. But there's only one person that's been given the authority to do that.
Well, Paul, you make an eloquent defense of Obama's actions, but how does this action, this killing of Osama bin Laden, how does that enhance America's position or prestige around the planet? I'm not sure on that one. How do you see it?
I think it's going to take time to find out. I don't think we can. At least I don't even.
Well, no, I think that's what you said, wasn't it? I'm just wondering what you meant.
What I mean is that America has been called buffoons and everything else because we couldn't find bin Laden all this time. We didn't know where he was. We thought he was in a cave someplace.
Well, I don't think America was called that. I think the Bush crime family, who never had any intention whatsoever of tracking him down, I think they may have been seen mostly by Americans as jerks and buffoons, but I don't think the United States or this culture, this society, this country was seen as morons or idiots because we couldn't find bin Laden. I think we might have been seen as morons and idiots because we were pursuing him to begin with. I mean, especially after it came out from our torture techniques that, and whether this is true or not is beside the point, but it came out through our torture techniques against Sheikh Khalid Muhammad that he was the one. Sheikh Khalid Muhammad was, or Khalid Sheikh Muhammad was the one who, organized, planned, plotted, orchestrated, and had carried out the September 11, 2001 attacks against this country, not Osama bin Laden. And even, well, and even Bush, as early as 2002, a year after the event, he said, I don't care about Osama bin Laden. I'm not interested in him. He is meaningless to us. So I, like I say, you make an eloquent defense of what Obama did, and that's fine. But I just can't see, it's difficult for me to see that. I have to leave it there. Paul, thanks, Paul. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
Got my old earth wearing a mask. Loves to get a mail. I know we're older God that lost 12 folks peeps on 911. This is serious biz. My time Bush is done. You won't know what time it is. If it's war time or jail time, time for promises and time to figure out where the enemy is. The same devils that you used to love to hate. They got you so gassed and shook now. You scared to debate. The same ones that traded books for guns, smuggled drugs for
before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Aussie Progressive, whose message is truth seekers. Ask your local radio stations to provide a progressive talk format. Support sponsors of progressive talk. Tell the sponsors you support them because they support Progressive Talk. Thanks, Aussie Progressive. Appreciate it. Joe in Cleveland writes, Mike, they've caught and killed Osama, and he's already sleeping with the fishes while the innocent shepherds and farmers swept up in Afghanistan are in Gitmo forever. Well, it's an upside-down world. Limbaugh began his show today with this. I know why they caught Osama, because Obama's chances of re-election are very poor. So Russia's telling us Bush could have caught the fugitive anytime he wanted to. Like, say, if the Republicans had lost the codes to the electronic voting machines in 2004. I know one thing. The much-touted DNA evidence of their having caught and killed Obama, or Osama, isn't going to play with the birthers who have set the bar for evidence particularly high. But then again, why should any of us? I better leave off. It's also strange. Joe in Cleveland. Yeah, it's when you know that mainstream media has a corporatist agenda, it is not there. I mean, look at your local news at night. Jesus Christ, all it is murder reports and fire reports and break-ins and robberies and larceny. It's a police blotter. I mean, when have you seen anything on your local news other than the weather report that had any relevance to your life at all? I mean, seriously, unless you live in a city or, as they say, in a market where some radio station is experimenting with the idea of trying not to follow the dictum, if it bleeds, it leads. But other than that, I mean, you know, the biggest television station in Georgia is owned by a media empire that is just, you know, it's absolutely conservative for one thing, but it's a machine, it's a factory. It turns out right wing, or when not right wing, corporatist propaganda 24/7. That's all it does, and their newscasts do that. It's just your stock BS crime reports, so on and so on and so on. So to assume that television news or the commentators or anybody is going to make any effort whatsoever to sort through all this and try to say, okay, A, B, C, D is to, if you think that way, you're kidding yourself. It's absolutely pointless. And Joe in Cleveland, I don't know. There's really nothing to add. Thanks for writing, Joe. ZJ's is in Minneapolis. Hello, ZJ's.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm just wanted to comment on the fact that Osama. Oh no, see, I'm so nervous, Mike.
Hey, listen, ZJ's, you're fading in and fading out. We'll have to try it another night, but thanks. I appreciate you at least giving it a shot. Mike is in Westminster, South Carolina.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Good to talk to you again.
Sure, my pleasure.
The emailer was right. This is a total non-event as far as the you know, the situation in the world goes.
Right.
The caller that you had from North Carolina, unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to listen to from a lot of bleeding heart liberals these days that supported Obama and now refuse to recognize him for what he is. I mean, they're even using this to you know, put all the pieces together with Gitmo to justify its existence, saying that mm-hmm. the information for this came from detainees there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, you know, they're going to get a lot of mileage out of this for, you know, the corporate state of America. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's a non-event. It's just more bread and circuses, media events like the the wedding we just went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot, you know.
At least the wedding had some pretty people in it.
Well, you know.
I think you're probably right. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to react to it. I guess I'm just tired of being played for a fool. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, if all what they were saying was actually true and they actually killed bin Laden here, you know, as close as George Bush and Barack Obama and Clinton are together, you know, mm-hmm. they'd want his head on a stick. And that they have it mounted somewhere in a museum. you know what I'm saying. It's just the whole story just doesn't wash with me at all. Even if it's true, you know, it's a non-event. Because we're so far beyond that.
Yeah, that's the thing. There has to be some element of reality to the story. I don't know what it is or where it comes in, but. No, I agree with what you're saying. Mike, I got to leave there, pal. We're flat out of time. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you checking in. Well. I don't feel any more enlightened than when we started the program tonight. Do you? Of course not. But we'll give it another shot tomorrow night. I'll see you then. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.